series called Love Well. We're about to finish up this series in about 2 weeks. Again, John chapter 13, 24, 25. We started out, before we read this verse, we started out, of course, around Christmas time talking about loving God well. And once we understand loving God well, we came into this aspect of loving yourself because God is in you. And as Matthew 22 says, love your neighbor as yourself. Once we understand how to love ourselves, we could love one another. And so that's where we are today in this passage, love one another. So let's read John chapter 13, verse 24 and 25. A new command I give you, love. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love. Now, this seems like a very simple passage, and I was listening to Mommy as she was speaking. There's a certain fervent, passionate, intentional heart that she has. And when you read God's Word, I hope you take God's Word and you take that time and say, Lord, speak to me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. For I wish to desire this fervent and passionate heart in the midst of what goes on around. Now, of course, many of us are familiar that today many of us will be watching the Super Bowl. And let's just imagine, hypothetically speaking, that the Texans beat New England. Let's just pretend. Which, I don't know until Tom Brady leaves. Let's just hypothetically say that the Texans beat New England. And of course, we've beaten the Ravens, so let's pretend we've beaten the Ravens 2 weeks ago. And today, we're going to play the San Francisco 49ers, a team that I very much enjoyed when they played Dallas back in the 80s. So I go to Ralph, and we're sitting and we're watching the game, and it's his birthday. And I say to Ralph, man, I'm so excited. I can't wait till we win. We. Who is this we you're referring to, Pastor Rick? Maybe secretly you guys don't know, but Ralph and I are San Francisco 49er, just advocate lovers of that team. You see, you thought we can't wait till we win, refer to the Texans. Of course, we don't really like the 49ers that much, but we're just joking. I would vote for it. But here's my point. If we take that pronoun, we, and go, what do you mean? You need to take that to the Bible when you study His Word. What do you mean by love one another? See, that's a pronoun. It's called a reciprocal pronoun. It means you love, the verb is love. You need to love one another. Now, there's either two ways. Now, God's speaking to the church, so He's saying you in here, you guys over here, love this side. And this side, you love that side. You love one another. Or is He saying, the pronouns He was saying, you need to love one another out there. People that you don't know, do you love them? So you look at that passage and you go, well, that it's one another. Who cares what one? No, it does matter. Absolutely is imperative. How we treat other people. I'm guilty of it. I treat people differently here as I would treat people outside differently. I say, well, that's not fair. When my dad died 2 years ago, I taped him for 4 hours, 10-minute sessions every time. Tell me about your story. Tell me about your story. And I had one question. I said, Dad, Rodney, Randy, Rachel, and there's myself, three siblings and myself. Which one did you love more? Because his whole life, he said, I love you all equally. But when he had cancer, he told us. He told me. I can tell you. But it's all good. It's not me. We treat each other differently. I'm not going to treat women in this world the same I treat my wife. And I'll tell you this right now. I am not going to treat Tice the same way I treat them. Well, you need to love them equally. You need to love them equally, but differently as individuals. Not as genders, not like one's a male, one's a female. I love them differently as individuality. You see, we need to unlearn certain things in our mindset. Not relearn it, we need to unlearn it. We say, well, you know, I love both of them. But I'm not going to tackle Elise the way I tackle. Here's two, we're going to talk about two points today. It seems very simple, but look what we have here. Here's our main objective. Love one another refers to believers in Christ Jesus. And the second thing we'll be talking about is love one another affectionately and in a devoted manner. And those words, affectionately and devoted, are deeper than what we really mean. It just means to be devoted in a loyal way, not what it just means. It's really a deep aspect. So two things. Again, love one another refers to loving one another here. That's what that passage is referring to. As a matter of fact, I looked up the word one another, and I actually looked through every single one of them, spent a lot of time looking at this. There are 71 verses when they use that particular word in Hebrew and in Greek. And of those 71, 54 of them were used to love one another within the confines as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, how we treat here is going to be different from how we treat people outside. The Bible says what? Love your enemies. But that love is also very different as well. And we'll be preaching about that next week. Loving your enemies is not like love. When we say love, it's like, I've heard someone preach this one time, I love tacos and I love God. Do you love tacos the same way you love God? No. Love's a very interesting word. Very interesting. So when we love one another here, it may differ. He'll tell us. I'm not going to go through all 71 verses or 54 verses of how we love each other, but I'll go through at least 10. Simply. Now let me get your mindset out of this one another for just a second. I talked about unlearning, not relearning. So we come here and we say, well, you teach us something today, Pastor. If you haven't even understood it, sometimes the way I come through, and I try to do this out of love sometimes, because sometimes I don't. But we really need to unlearn certain things even within our traditional church understanding. Not relearn, but unlearn. How we treat each other, for example. I've had a lot of young people always come to me, and they will say, Pastor Rick, the Bible passage there in Ephesians, in the Testaments, commandments, it says, honor your parents. Do I need to honor my parents? Quick answer would be say, yes, you need to honor your parents. As we blanket that statement, you don't even understand the circumstance they're even coming at. We need to unlearn certain things. For example, that child who came to me, and I knew their situation halfway through my conversation, telling, yes, you need to honor your parents. That child did not have parents who not only did not grow up in the church, were not Christians, but despised the church. And that child and many other of these children being abused physically, emotionally, mentally, and one of the biggest ones, because a big kicker for all three of those, is they're being sexually abused by their biological. So she wasn't trying to put me in this weird position, but she said, look, I love Jesus, but do I need to honor Jesus? Most of us will say, yes, you honor your parents. Most of all these kids within this church, I say, honor your parents, because they're loving people of God. If you look at Ephesians, it says, honor your parents in the Lord. They must be in the Lord. And if you look at the word honor, it talks about high reverence, esteem, and then you take this word which means approval. Pastor, let me ask you a question again. You're saying, take out the word honor and say, approval of my parents? When they sexually abuse me, I should approve of this? No. You see how semantically that sounds so wrong? Pastor, let me ask you a question. Should I honor my parents? No. Wow. That's interesting. It's quite interesting. See, we take these things, and we take this passage where we're talking about love one another, when we love one another here, we love one another out there, it may be different. If we take things out of context, misunderstandings, and we just blanket it because that's what the pastor told us, and we miss the part where it says, love your parent, honor your parents in Christ, it's different. Not in the jurisdiction of Christianity or under the values of what the Bible holds, why should you hold that? Why should you honor them? Why should you esteem them? Why should you approve of what they're doing? Now, let's pretend these are hot pink pants. Just pretend. And I would put them on. Right? Let's just pretend I'm wearing them. Like I'm wearing them. Phone's down. So I'm preaching. Did you know it is illegal to wear hot pink pants on a Sunday, the midday? There's a lot of laws you didn't know. Did you know in Kansas, in a particular city, you cannot have more than 6 cats? It was just passed in 2013. Yeah, it's illegal to wear hot pink pants mid-afternoon on a Sunday. For the Bornagas, it's legal to wear hot pink pants mid-afternoon on Sunday in Australia. There, you have cousins in Australia, so I kind of point that. So I could wear these and it's not illegal. But if I go to Australia and visit Ryan's cousins and I'm preaching and I wear hot pink pants, I might get a misdemeanor. What am I saying? Look. What parameters are we putting people in? If people don't follow these laws and rules, then don't use them. You can't be outside the jurisdiction and let's say you're not a Christian, you don't follow these rules and say, hey, you kids, you honor me because that's what your Bible says. It doesn't make the same sense, though. And the same thing when we say one another, when we love one another, those 54 verses is referring to each other here. So now look, what are these verses? Look, 10 of them. Now I don't have them up there, so you're just going to have to write them down or just listen. So I'm going to kind of go through them quite quickly. I'm not even going to preach on two of them. Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Here's how we love one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. Be at peace with one another. Are you at peace with these people over here? There are certain people you don't have peace with in this congregation. Be devoted to one another. Be loyal to each other, it says. I'll preach a little bit more on that one. Live in harmony with each other. Do you really like each other in here? I'm not saying we don't. I don't even know. Continual obligation, debt to love one another. Romans 13, verse 8. Romans 14, verse 13. Stop passing judgment upon one another. This one another. Upon one another. We may pass discernment. We should be passing judgment. Two different words. Accept one another. Romans 15, verse 7. Look, I'm just as guilty as each and every single one of us as I hear God's word. Sometimes I don't treat my brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ, properly. Do not slander one another. Slander doesn't sound too bad, but slander is something to the effect where I always use these young guys over here because they're really easy. But Ryan comes in here and he's playing the drums and he's getting all excited in the morning and he breaks one of the heads. Just pretend, all hypothetical again. Pretend I'm not happy with Ryan in general because I just don't like him or something. Pretend it. I do love him dearly. But see, I watch him and I see him break it. And he walks off. Then Brother Daryl comes around and he looks at the drums and he says, who broke these heads? Oh, I know Brother Daryl. It was Ryan Borinaga. It was him. I think he did it on purpose. But I'm not sure. But it was for sure Ryan Borinaga. Yeah, he broke it. That's slander. You're telling the truth, but pulling somebody down. Do you ever tell the truth upon somebody to try to pull them down? That's slander. Do we pull each other down to tell the truth just to pull them down? Slander. Let not slander be among one another. Do not slander. Do not grumble against one another. Be humble towards one another, 1 Peter 5:5. Be hospitable to one another. great things to do. And we're all going to learn them. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying I've achieved these things. To hear God's Word says, be at peace, be devoted, be in harmonious understanding, be obligated, that is, be in debt for each other. Do not pass judgment, accept one another. Do not slander, grumble, be humble with each other, one another, and be hospitable to one another. Just say this. There are 6,000 other churches in Southern Baptist. Forget the Southern Baptist. There are other denominations. There are hundreds of thousands of denominations within our state of Texas. If we go to another church and start shaking our heads, oh, no. No, I don't know. That's a different doctrine than mine. Do we really love? That's hard. Because we pass judgment on each other. Hear God speaking. As I loved you. And He's not even talking about people who don't know Christ. Guess how observant don't go to church people. When I was a high school teacher, one of the first things they always told me, be fair and just to these kids, because they know. It's kind of like a shark. They could smell fear. They could smell if you really don't like the child. I'm telling you, you go outside of this church, you talk to somebody that's not a Christian, sense. Not convert well. Love. That's hard. It's not easy. So we take this passage again. That's the first thing. To love one another refers to the believers. It's different. The second thing is love one another affectionately in a devoted manner. Affectionately, devoted manner. Now, I have different passages here. Around here, but Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 13, and here's what it says, and it's for the sake. Romans, actually just verse 10, I'm just going to skip to verse 10 if I may, which starts with you. Be devoted to one another. Be devoted to. We're obviously, again, referring to each other. It's one of the 54 verses that we mentioned. But it's talking about each other. And devoted, when we take this word devoted, we say, well, that means to be loyal to each other. It's true. It's an action. But in this particular case, not going to try to confuse you again, it's actually an adjective that's describing. It's describing the verb on how to do this and how. I'm sorry, describing the noun on how to do this. To be loyal would be the verb, but to be more of a, like for example, if someone's a good boy, the good would be this adjective. In this particular case, we need to be this understanding of devoted. Not loyal, but not just an action, but a feeling. It's fine. The feeling is this. Now I'm not sure if you've ever read C.S. Lewis's Four Loves. And most of us are familiar with the first three. Anybody? Agape? What's agape? Unconditional love. Phileo or phileia. What is that? Brotherly love, right? Kind of like you get the city of Philadelphia, which is brotherly love. Each other brotherly. And then you get this eros, which you think of course, an erotic and intimate, a sensual love, right? Between a one man and a one woman aspect. And there's this other one that C.S. Lewis writes. He says it's storge. Storge. What's this storge? Storge is like the love that you have for puppy that you have. Or a blanket. Tice has his green donut. Actually here today. please don't touch him because he's sick. We don't want him to get sick. But he has this green donut. It's like Linus's blanket. You know Linus's blanket and Charlie Brown? Can't get rid of it. Pay you thousands of dollars if we lose that green donut. If we find it, I'll give you $1,000. I really will. It breaks my heart because he needs it. That's storge. That's a storge love. He needs that. It's not just being devoted and loyal. It means storge. He needs that. But the word they use for devoted here is smushing two words. The phileo with storge. Phileo, storge. You put them together. So it's a brotherly love that has this deep family type love as a puppy. Deep longing for. So when we love one another, we must love each other like a blanket, if you may, or like family, a little puppy. It's hard. Because circumstantially, we do things. Even looking at each other, maybe somebody. Someone looks at me when I'm preaching, I don't know if they don't like me. Shrugs. Someone's sitting down and their wife, boyfriend's sitting on their shirt. Get all mad, now I'm not storgeing no more. Somebody smiling. Storge. Let me end with this one. This affectionate love. This one is difficult. Let me read Philippians 13, verse 8 as I have it up here. I thank my God. This is Paul. Paul speaking. Of course, in yellow talks about, you know, he's speaking to the brothers and sisters in Christ, the one another here. He says, Philippians are people that used to be the military, they're ex-military, retired, the Roman Empire, now they've become Christians. Here's what he says. He's talking about this deep feeling he has for them, his love that he has for them, his affectionate love he has for them, which I believe, if we can grasp this one, we've made it more than halfway. This is the hardest part. This is when I was preaching last, I think 3 weeks ago, when I talked about the new creation in Christ, the old is gone. This is difficult. This is talking about the spiritual manner, which is something I think we dearly need to address over and over again. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you, all being the brethren in Christ. I always pray with joy, because of the partnership in the gospel. So that's referring to the all, the people who partnership in the gospel. Everybody. But he always prays with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you. It's a very deep feeling he has for him. So now he explains the type of feeling. Since I have you in my heart, and whether I change, defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. And here's the affection. God can testify how I long for all of you with affection of Christ Jesus. That's easy. Affection. I took time and I said, what do you mean affection? What is that? And I'll be honest with you, I love the Greek language. Not that I've memorized it all, but I always have to go back in the books to help me out and understand what these words mean. So I went to go look it up and it confused me. Because the word that they use is the bowels. It's like the belly. The belly of Christ? Surely he's not talking about the belly of Christ, which can be translated to as the affection. Take the affection word out for right now. So, and as you replace that word there and go to verse 8, it says, God can testify. It's the last sentence there. God can testify how I long for all of you with the bowels or the belly of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That's difficult, isn't it? Like, what does that mean, the belly? Verses 40, maybe. Yeah, I don't know, but Proverbs 27 is not up there. The spirit of man, the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost, translated here as the belly. Belly. The innermost, not the, just the inner part, the innermost parts of his being. That again, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, and all the innermost, or all the belly parts of his being. Here's what I'm trying to get at. Remember a couple weeks ago we preached, body, soul, and spirit, body, soul, and spirit? So the body is your physical body. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. That's your soul, your thought process. And your spirit is that innermost being in your belly. You see, we need to fellowship not only with the Holy Spirit, with this innermost being called the Spirit, but we also need to fellowship with each other in such a way. That is hard to cultivate. I hope I would be able to preach one day some other series on that, because it's a long and winding series. We don't really have a hard time loving each other in such a way, the body and the soul. But in the spirit, which is made as a new creation, we can love that. It's powerful. Listen to what Jesus says about it. John chapter 7, verse 38. He says, whoever believes in me, he's talking about living water here. He's the living water, right? Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow belly. That's the King James Version. From within them, streams, rivers, living water will flow from you. You see, if you can get what God has given you, your spirit man, your spirit being, think, you feel every day when you're sick, or circumstantially when someone looks at you sideways, you can understand this perfect understanding of what's in you. Fellowship with each other. That's talking will flow. And surely he's not talking about the belly will flow from water. And that sounds like maybe you're sick, you know, you ate something wrong. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being such a deep man. So as we look and as we end with this, love one another. It's just two things we're referring to. Love one another is in Christ. And we will learn to love those sisters in Christ. We need to understand it from a harmonious, peaceful way, devoted way, the Lord. Storge. Family, passing judgment by accepting each other, humbling, affectionate and devoted way being in a spirit manner. You think. Think what's in you. Christ is in you. I struggle every stuff in life just like you. Keep going deep in God. Holy Spirit, some 2 weeks ago, I prayed to him directly as a he. I said, Holy Spirit, help me, guide me, strengthen me every day. I want to love you well. Because he really is good. That's back to love God well first. The one thing I desire is to love him well first. Start your day with it. Check on. Lord, I need you. I am struggling. So deeply I'm struggling. Bitterness, or anger, or or worriedness, or doubt, or fear, or lust, resentment. I don't know, Lord. I struggle so much in life. I've struggled with my physical aspects, as we even hear the seniors. But we will struggle in life. But God keeps bringing you back to His living water, His well, that will flow from your belly, from your innermost being, your spirit. That's where He wants you. You must be intimate with God in such a way. You must cultivate that. Say to Him, Holy Spirit, I need you. Please, teach me how to cultivate a relationship with you in such a way. Rain upon me. Living flame of love, as it says in Song of Solomon. Living flame of love. Burn inside of me. Fire like Moses. Living flame of love. Teach me to have this peace that surpasses all understanding. To teach me this love, this affection, this tenderness. This hospitality. Teach me not only to one another, but even to myself. There's times, Lord, I don't even love myself. And how are we going to love others when the Bible, the second commandment that Jesus talks about, that's great, is yourself. I can't even love myself, Lord. I struggle with all these things that we just mentioned. Lord, I struggle with, again, how come I can't get rid of this addiction of lust? Or how come I can't get this addiction of doubt and fear of who you are? I can't do it. I cannot. You have to speak to Him and say, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, You died on the cross for my sins. Please. As Mommy Fortune mentioned, I got to meet the daughter of this lady. Wow. This past Friday, I was able to preach to her today. The only thing I could think of as we sing the song is, God, You are good. Give me the words. I don't even know. You are good. You are good, Lord. There's nothing good in me, Lord, but it's You who are good. Your spirit resides in me. That's good. My spirit, may I fellowship with You, please. My body and soul keep running away from You. They're contrary to You, as it says in Ephesians. Lord God, we thank You so much. Holy Spirit, we take this time to praise You, may we honor You. May we learn to be still and know that You are God. Forgive us of our sins. May we not run away from You, but may we come with You, even with our baggage, in open arms and say, Lord, I need You. I need You every day. I'm running into Your arms, Lord. May I run into Your arms. May my family run into Your arms. My daughter, my son, my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad, my friends. And outside the church, may they all run to You. You are so good.
I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. Sing, you are more. You are more, you are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, all creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go.
So much for reminding us just to love you well first and foremost. May we continue to run into your arms, Lord. And we may love not only ourselves but love others well. Even within here, may we even take time, even after service, to repent of our sins or even hug somebody, Lord Heavenly Father, for you are so good to us. May we be likewise. May we, Lord Heavenly Father, show this love that you've shown us. As reminded as we hear your word, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, whom you love. In your wonderful name we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.